Okay, goodvach, everybody. Goodvach. It's truly a very special schus to be here, to be together. Poischin b'chloi rechsanya. I want to first of all thank Naomi and her mishpacha, who emes, I feel, it's not thanking hosts. It's really, I feel like thanking my own mishpacha. I feel so much, not just as friends, more so as family over the years in so many different ways. And it's a really special schus to be here and to share Torah in this bias. And Bez Hashem, it should be a big schus of only simcha and bracha, Naomi, for you and your whole family. Bez Hashem is baruch. Tomorrow night is Tu B'Shvat. Tomorrow night's Tu B'Shvat. And the emes is, I feel always, here in America, it's like Tu B'Shvat. What is Tu B'Shvat? It's a regular day, like any other day. It's hard to connect, it's hard to understand, it's hard to feel. I mean, hopefully still, we have time to get to Eretz Yisrael. Amir Tashem will somehow be there by Sunday night, by Monday. In Eretz Yisrael, you feel Tu B'Shvat. In all different types of ways. In Eretz Yisrael, you feel it. So we have Naomi here, who's a little Avira Da'ara. She's really in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what she's doing here. Okay, here for Simchas, Baruch Hashem. No, I know what she's doing here. She's here for Simchas, Baruch Hashem. So maybe we could feel a little bit more, that we have a little bit of Avira Da'ara here. Because when you talk about the Peros Ha'aretz, in Chutz La'aretz, it just doesn't do it. You know, you don't feel it in the same way. And we have to understand what Tu B'Shvat is all about itself, because if you look into the halachas and you look into the depth, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah, Lilanos, it's the new year for fruits. What does that mean exactly? In halach, in the Shulchan Aruch, all that we find is, there's no tachnun. Okay, some have minhagim to have this Tu B'Shvat Seder. I don't know how many in America have that, like, but really, there's no tachnun. How often do we say tachnun anyways? Let's be real. Right? So, what else? Magen Avram brings down a minog to eat fruits. Okay, that makes sense. It's nice to eat fruits. But what is it all about? We have to understand the amkus, the depth of the day. Because only then will be a meaningful day. And only then will it be a day that's inspiring, and a day that we can walk away with chizik and isoris. Because any day, any special day on the calendar is not meant as a day just to feel closer to Hashem and then leave and go back to our normal ways. We're always trying to grow, and we're trying to work on ourselves, and we're trying to tap into kochos of special days to change us and to walk away with that. Not just for that day. And we saw there's a beautiful Torah that we read on a pasuk in this morning's parsha, and such a beautiful parsha, Shabbos Shira, to read the Az Yashir, to read what we daven every single day, Az Yashir, in the Torah, Shabbos Shira. So the pasuk says, Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayam. They went in the dry land, in the middle of the sea. Pashupshat is, as we all know, right? The sea split open and we were in the dry land amongst the sea. But if you read the pasuk as it's written, it sounds like we were by Yabasha in the dry land, and still in the sea. So Naim El Melech, the Rebbe of Melech of Lugansk, he has such a beautiful Torah on this. The Torah is not in Parshas Bishalach. It's found all the way at the end of the Sefer. There's a section called Likutei Shoshana. Maybe these are his beautiful Torahs. Shoshana is a rose. It's very beautiful, right? Likutei Shoshana, he calls it. So there, all the way at the end of the Sefer, he says, as we all know, when we were in the middle of the sea, it was mamish, living nisim gluyim, living revealed miracles, living a connection to Hashem. There was no one that could deny the existence of the Rabbono Shel Olam by my side. Right? It's mamish impossible. If you were walking, imagine that scene. If you were walking through the Yam Suf, you felt Hashem. Chazal say, I feel a shivcha bayam, even a maidservant had nevuah on like the highest of levels. And we mamish were one with Hashem. When we were at B'Sochayam. But the Rebbe Melech says, true tzaddikim, sru nashim tzikanios, are individuals that not just when I'm close to Hashem, do they feel close to Hashem, but they're able to be lifted up through those moments when we feel close to Hashem, internalize, and even when those moments end, I still feel close to Hashem. That same closeness, that same wherewithal and understanding that Hashem is by my side. So it's Holchu b'yabasha, the Naim HaMelech says, when we were by Yabasha, when we got to the dry land, when we were by Yabasha, It was Besoch Hayam. It was like we were still in the midst of the sea. Holchu b'yabasha Besoch Hayam. That's why it's said in such a way. What a beautiful Torah. If all we learn with that Torah, to mechazik ourselves, that it's not just the moment when I feel close. Obviously, we need those moments to re-inspire us, to revitalize us. But the avodah is to walk away with those moments. And even when we're not in the middle of the sea anymore. We still feel it in the same way. We still know it's emes. The only way, I believe, if we're going to go through a Tu B'Shvat and be inspired and have somewhat of a meaningful day tomorrow night and Monday, it's going to be not just that we happen to know it's Tu B'Shvat. There are going to be a lot of you that don't even know it's Tu B'Shvat, I think. But not just the way I know today it's Tu B'Shvat and maybe eat a few fruits. I don't know, back in when we all went to elementary school, if you remember, right, they used to give out Boxer. I don't know what that was all about, right? They gave out, it was like I don't know, in the guys' schools we all had this. I don't know if you guys also, the dried Boxer, it's like hard as a rock, and you're supposed to do what with it? I'm not sure. But it definitely reminded, we knew it was Tu B'Shvat when you saw the Boxer come out. You know, that was, at least you knew it. So MS is, at least I knew it was Tu B'Shvat, because when else would you have these black, long, hard things that you do? I don't know, maybe there's some games the kids make up with it. At least we knew it was Tu B'Shvat. But we want to more than know it's Tu B'Shvat. We want to connect to the depth of the day. We want to feel the day. We want to be lifted up from that day and lifted up in a way that I'm a different person because of this day. So we have to understand what the day is all about. So there's another idea, just one. It's brought down in the Sefer Chassidim and different Svarim that we should daven for a beautiful Esrog on Tu B'Shvat. That a Yid should daven for a beautiful Esrog in Tu B'Shvat. Some people even have a minhag to eat an Esrog, or eat the jam of an Esrog. Daven for a beautiful Esrog. Now, let's be real. Is Sukkot on our minds now? Sukkot is not on our minds. Tonight, maybe Purim should be on our minds already. Tonight's Shoshim Yom Kodim L'Chag. It's Yudal Shvat. Yudal Ad. There's going to be Purim, so we should start thinking Purim. And personally, I think Purim all year long. So, but Lamei is a Purim. Pesach. Sukkot is like the farthest thing from our minds. I'm thinking about an Esrog now, daven for... what's pshat in that? Daven for a beautiful Esrog now. No, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah Li'in Lanos. So Rosh Hashanah is a Zman of Din, a Zman when Hashem's deciding what's going to be. So I thought that alone is a big chizik to us, this idea that we should daven for a beautiful Esrog. And there's a story. There was a chassid, and he asked his Rebbe if he could spend an entire day by his side. Kilu be an apprentice to the Rebbe. I want to spend an entire day, because most Hasidim, you get to see the Rebbe by the Tish, you get to see when you need Eitzah to have some Yechidus with the Rebbe by davening. This Chassid said, I want to see the Rebbe every moment, how he acts, how he is, to learn from him, to grow from him. It's an amazing thing to watch Talmidei Chachamim, to watch Tzadikim, Nashim Tikkanios, so that we can learn how to act properly in everything that we do. Famous story, this Yid went and he spent an entire day from beginning to end with the Rebbe. And from the time the Rebbe woke up, and they went and they chvesnish, they went to daven together, and they ate breakfast together, and he watched, and they learned together, and he saw how the Rebbe met with different people throughout the day, and all the avoid of the Rebbe throughout the day. It was very beautiful, but at the end of the day, the chassid, with all due respect, he said to his Rebbe, I don't understand. It was a very beautiful day, and it's a beautiful schus I had to spend with the Rebbe, but, you know, the Rebbe wakes up in the morning, I wake up in the morning. The Rebbe washes Negel Vassar, I wash Negel Vassar. The Rebbe says Ashi Yatzar, I say Ashi Yatzar. The Rebbe goes to Daven, I Daven. The Rebbe sits down and he basically had some fruit for breakfast, and I had some fruit for breakfast. And of course, before we ate the fruit, the Rebbe made a bracha, and I make a bracha. Like, basically, in a very sweet, nice, as respectful as possible way, so the Rebbe, what's the difference between you and me? Like, really? So Rebbe said to him, let me tell you, yeah, vada, we both daven. And only the Eibishter is the judge of who davens with more kavana. You might daven with a lot more kavana than I daven. And we both learn Torah, and only the Eibishter knows who learns with more hasmada, more amelis, and more effort. It's also true. We're all trying. But I'll tell you one little difference. You know, when we sat down to breakfast, we both need to eat, and we both had a beautiful, delicious apple for breakfast. You, by the time we got to breakfast, after a whole morning, after learning, after davening, it's already a few more hours into the morning, you were mamish so hungry. You were so hungry, you're so excited to eat that apple. And of course, you're Neved Hashem, so before you ate the apple, what did you do? Neved Hashem makes a bracha, you made a bracha. my whole life is only about Hashem. And vada, I need nourishment, of course, but I have no temptation but to be close to Hashem. You see, you made a bracha in order to eat. I ate in order to make a bracha. I said, oh, now I needed. I finished davening, learning. Now it's not minchas, not for a while. I want to make a bracha. I can't just stop. It'll be a bracha levatola. So I want to make a bracha to thank Hashem. So I'm going to take an apple so that I can make a bracha. You were dying for the apple, so of course you made a bracha first. It's a beautiful idea. It's a beautiful idea, but the depth of it is as follows. That to the best of our ability, and each and every one of us on our own level, is we're supposed to be trying to connect Hashem and have Hashem by our side. And in everything we do, we could elevate it to a mitzvah. And that should be our focus. Something that's very beautiful, when we talk Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, which is a beautiful idea, whatever that means exactly, which we're going to try to understand deeply tonight. But first and foremost, if we could somehow garner and figure out how can we focus this towards a mitzvah. So, okay, Shkoyach, I could eat a bunch of different fruits, and it's very nice and very beautiful. Fruits from Eretz Yisrael, Shevaminim, whatever it might be. And Vada, I'm going to make brachos on that. But wait a minute, there's one fruit that's a mitzvah. It itself is a chesvashal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. What's that fruit? An esrog. There's one fruit that during the year I utilize. So on this day, besides for eating fruits and enjoying, I'm going to also try to focus towards mitzvahs. So I'm going to think about davening for an esrog. And as much as we can, our lives should be focused towards mitzvahs, towards Hashem. And obviously, we have the chiyuvim, we have the obligatory mitzvahs, we have our davening, and we have our dressing tzenuah, and keeping Shabbos, and kosher, and we're all to the best of our ability, trying to elevate our lives through that. But also in the gray areas of life, is there more I could focus on? See, here it's Tu B'Shvat, I'm going to focus, oh, I'm going to daven for an esrog. It's a beautiful idea to understand that we try as Yidden to focus everything towards mitzvahs, everything towards Hashem. There's something much deeper here. Something much deeper that we have to talk about. You know, the godless of Tu B'Shvat, I believe, I'm going to learn about this in a few different ways, is that it's such a hidden day. And not just a hidden day, but machshav and thought and understanding what it is. Mamish, the whole entire yontiv is so hidden because it makes absolutely no sense. We're going to call Sunday night, Monday, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. Look at us, it's freezing here. We all have our winter coats. You look around the trees. Anyone here see a blossoming tree? The trees are bare. It's the middle of the winter. It's the middle of the winter. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, what kind of joke is this? It's machlik is in the Mishnah, B'Sham Beis Hillel. We actually take the later time period. Right? The other opinion is that it should be Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That was 2 weeks ago. But even now, Tu B'Shvat, it's the middle of the winter. There are no trees blossoming. There's no greenery. Nothing's flowering. So some of you think, okay, because we're in Chutzlar, it's not where we're supposed to be. Naomi, anything flowering in Eretz Yisrael yet? It's still pretty cold in Eretz Yisrael. I think this past week was nicer. 2 weeks ago, it was in the 40s and raining. Mamish, 40s and raining in Eretz Yisrael. The trees are not blossoming in Eretz Yisrael. The fruit trees are not starting to blossom. What is this Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos? It seems like it's like a little bit of a joke. Like we got it wrong. Shkoyach, if we want to have Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, we're like a couple months early. I'll give you the biggest raya. What's the biggest raya? We make a bracha on blossoming fruit trees to thank Hashem for this special matana, special gift, giving us beautiful, delicious fruits. So when it starts to blossom, we already see, oh, we're going to have a juicy, delicious orange. What a thank you, Hashem. I'm going to have a juicy apple. Thank you, Hashem. Right when it starts blossoming, looking forward. When do we start making that bracha? Not for 6 more weeks. When the trees start to blossom, which is starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the beginning of spring. Pesach. Now we're in the middle of the winter. We got it wrong, it seems. Like, why is Tu B'Shvat now? Why is Tu B'Shvat now? So there's a lot we can understand. A lot we can understand from here, but I want to share in the following way. You know, first and foremost, it's just a very, very deep lesson in Emunah, I believe. It's incredible how it falls out Tu B'Shvat this Monday, right after Shabbos Shira, which is Vayaminu Ba'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Right after Shabbos Shira, when we went through that whole chul B'Soi Chayam, and we're trying to build that awareness of the Rabbonu Shalom in our lives always, what's the biggest deterrent to feeling Hashem by my side? The biggest deterrent by feeling Hashem by my side is the fact that we don't see Hashem physically. That's the biggest deterrent to not feeling Hashem by my side. See, we see each other, we talk to each other, we know that we're there for each other. The Eibishter, we have to really imagine. And for some of us, that becomes difficult at times, especially when we go through difficulties in our life, which we'll get to in a few moments, especially when we go through trials and tribulations and nisyonos, and we can't physically see Hashem, so we could daven, but sometimes we feel like it's a one-ended relationship. And I'm davening and davening, and I'm crying, but I'm not seeing any discussion back. I don't see Hashem, I don't feel Hashem. You know what the lesson of Tu B'Shvat is? Tu B'Shvat is teaching us, even when you don't see, it doesn't mean there's not a lot going on. It doesn't mean there's not a lot going on, like meaning like this. So we're going to finally, in 6 weeks from now, start seeing the trees blossom. That's when we're going to start seeing on the exterior the trees blossom into flowers, into fruits. Did that begin then? If we use our minds for a moment, we all know it couldn't have that day, for the first time, the tree started producing whatever goes on. I'm not such a bucky, an expert in plant life, but whatever needs to go on within the tree in order to develop, in order to grow, it didn't start that day, right? Weeks and perhaps 6 weeks prior is when inside the depth of the tree, the sap began to flow, and different, whatever was going on in the roots of the tree, and inside the bark of the tree, and behind the branch of the tree, in order to finally, 6 weeks later, flourish b'chitzonius, on the exterior. But all of that happened later, because it started when? This Sunday night, Tu B'Shvat. This is actually the beginning. L'mashal, you'll all understand. B'Shataiva, you'll be zoiche in the right time. B'zoiche is such a beautiful mitzvah, the first mitzvah in the Torah, and to have children. And when a woman gives birth to a child, it's the biggest simcha in the world. The biggest simcha in the world. And trust me, you feel the Rabbonu Shalom by your side, like I'll never forget, obviously. In my life, the most I felt the Rabbonu Shalom by my side was the birth of my first child. I mean, and every child since then, the same, but that first time, it was a different feeling, because I never had it before. And where you literally see Bria, you see creation in front of your eyes. You see a child, but we all know what. That's only finally b'chitoni. That child for 9 months was being created inside the womb of the mother. And there was a lot going on. And now in our day and age with technology, we could go and we could see through a sonogram and see all that's developing and see all that's happening throughout those 9 months that's concealed to the outside. If you were able to take a chesnish, a sonogram machine, up to a tree at the end of this week, you were able to see that inside the barks of the tree, there's a lot going on. To form eventually, which will come to fruition in 6 weeks from now, the tree is starting to flower and to flourish and to eventually turn into fruit trees. What does that teach me? That teaches me sometimes, even if I don't see, it doesn't mean there isn't a lot going on. And that's the Rabbonu Shalom by our side. The Rabbonu Shalom is telling us he's always by our side. And the biggest chizik in the world, that's the lesson of Tu B'Shvat. There's a lot going on. You know, right now, I'm sitting here right next to Naomi. Right? So if you look between our faces, you'd say, there's nothing here. You'd say, there's nothing here. But there's a lot here. There's obviously oxygen in the air. But Hashem, we're all alive and we're all breathing, right? There are other different chemicals that are in the air. This house is a very clean house, so I wouldn't say it here. But in other homes, if you turned off the lights and you shined a flashlight, you'd see hundreds of particles of dust flying through the air. Right now, you don't see it because we don't have the contrast. Meaning, but there's a lot here that we don't see. So when you don't see, doesn't mean it's not there. And that's the lesson of Tu B'Shvat. There's a lot happening. There's a lot to be thankful. Yes, this is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanos. And so too with Eibishter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by our side. Hashem is with us. And sometimes we might not see, and sometimes it might be confusing. We always have to have that emunah. Hashem is always by our side. But I think we could even go deeper than that. You know, if we analyze the seasons of the year, in many ways, the seasons of the year really are parallel to our lives. Parallel. There are a lot of times in our lives where they're full of fun, full of excitement, full of life. The summer. The summer is full of life and full of excitement, full of fun. Times in life we're growing. We feel the growth. We're becoming better people. We're working on things. We feel good about that. The spring is this tremendous time of growth. Times when we go through growing pains and we go through difficulties. And we feel like we're a little bit falling apart as the fall, as the leaves fall off the trees. And then there are times that are very dark, lo aleinu, and times that are full of sadness and depression, and times that we don't even know where to turn. And that's the winter. And if we really thought about it, that's why the pasuk in Shoftim say, Va'adam eitz asada, that we are all compared to a tree. Va'adam, it's a fairish pasuk. That's the biggest source in the Torah itself, why we have a minhag to have an upsharon. I don't know how many of your brothers had an upsharon, a very beautiful minhag, to celebrate the chinuch of a child at the age of 3 and let the hair grow until that time. One of the reasons, v'adam eitz asada, the man is like a tree. And the halacha by a tree, and that's very connected to b'shvat, because that's how you learn the years, is it's found in parshas Kedoshim v'chisavol aretz v'natatem kol eitz machal v'araltem arlasos pir yoshal shonim yilcha areilim lo yeacha. The first 3 years, you have to leave the trees. You're not allowed to use those. You're not allowed to use this fruit. You're not allowed to pick the fruits. You're not allowed to enjoy the fruits. It's arla. It's all for Hashem. So too, the first 3 years of a child, we don't cut his hair. V'adam eitz asada. We're like a tree. We're like a tree. Of the greatest contrasts in season, I believe, is from winter to spring. From winter to spring. Winter, stagnation, darkness, bare, no growth. Spring, full of vitality, full of growth. Nature reveals its beauty. It's an incredible turn, an incredible contrast. Spring is exciting. Spring is time when we're besimcha and we're good. And by the way, I don't have to sit here and tell you how to be besimcha and how to feel Hashem in your life when you're living spring. And I'm not just referring to spring in season. I mean spring in your lives. When you're the eights of spring. And often I have the amazing schus to meet with a chassan and kala. To meet with the chassan and kala before their chassana, and to try to give whatever through the years of experience and through Torah and through just give words of Isoris and words of Eitzah and preparation for this incredible, not just the chassana itself, but for a life together, a life of shalom bayis. And often we'll discuss different inyanim, but then I'll turn to them and say, listen, MS is, I don't have to discuss with you how to be besimcha when things are going great. That's natural, that's normal. What we have to discuss are the more difficult times in a marriage, which are inevitable, which are part of life. When you're going through the fights, the disagreements, how to deal with that and ensure that they don't turn into fights, that the disagreements that you could communicate through and learn through, and now's not the time, chaver, mir tashem in the right time, b'shatayva for each and every one of you. But so too, but in l'mashal in our own lives, I don't have to tell you how to be besimcha and how to feel Hashem by our side in the spring and in the summer, but what about in the winter? What about in the winter? What about when the day is dark and bare and there feels like in our ruchnias there's stagnation? Talk about beruchnias. I'm davening, but it's more like a Hebrew reading exercise. I'm not feeling emotionally connected to Hashem. I'm not feeling Shabbos Kodesh or lo aleinu in my life. I'm going through a difficulty. I have someone in my family that's not well. There's a machla. I'm going through a difficulty in shiduchim. It's been very, very hard. In whatever area of life it could be. And I feel like it's winter. I feel like it's dark. I feel... So I believe Tu Bishvat specifically is in the winter to give us this chizik. Tu Bishvat could have been. We could have said Tu Bishvat is Nisan when we see the flowers starting to flourish and blossom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to say no. You know, in the middle of the winter, you know, you feel when it's dark. Guess what? There's a lot. Guess what? There's going. And I'll say it better. I'll say it in this way. There's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And there's going to be blossoming. And start celebrating that. Start recognizing it now. We're going to get there. We're going to get to spring. You're going to blossom. You're going to flourish. That's the beauty of the seasonal cycle. That the winter is really, you can look at, you know, we can look at winter in different ways. And you can look at the hardships of life. In one way, you could say the difficulty is difficulty and fall into that sadness and that darkness and just totally focus on that and be stuck in that. Or I could say, wait a minute. You know what the winter is here? It's just to usher in the beauty, beautiful spring days of growth. This is going to pass by. And before I know it, I'm going to be in spring. And therefore, in the midst of the winter, I'm already celebrating the spring. Right now, right here. I'm awaiting it. I'm looking towards it. In this winter, I'm going to have a Tu Bishvat. I'm going to be eating the fruits that I know and I believe I'm going to be eating soon. That are going to grow. I'm looking for that good. That's the biggest lesson of Tu Bishvat. To really be mechazik ourselves, to always be able to say like those beautiful words of Shlomo HaMelech that he had written on his ring. We all know the story. Gam ze yavor. This is going to pass. Not maybe, not hopefully. It will. There's a spring is coming. There's a cycle. Why I'm in the winter right now? Abishter decided we should be in the winter now, and we'll get to that in a moment actually. But the first step is not even understanding the winter, but looking forward to the spring within the winter. That I'm constantly, even now, I'm in a state of vitality and growth. I know it right now. Because I know it's going to happen. And I believe it. I believe it. But it goes even further than that. It goes even deeper than that. As we already explained, it's not just that Tu Bishvat is this lesson that there's going to be growth that I know now. As we explained when we saw the Amunah of Tu Bishvat, it means that right now, not only is there going to be growth, but that growth is occurring and there's a lot happening behind the scenes. There's more than meets the eye. This stage of life, this cycle, this is necessary for the growth. Without this time, for whatever reason, for the tree, let's talk in terms of the tree itself, not the Adam Eitz, the tree itself, without it to have this downtime, without it to have this time where it's producing on the outside, it wouldn't have the strength to continue to bear fruits, continue to go on. And it needs the winter and the rest of the winter, and perhaps the rain of the winter, and whatever else it is to start so it could be reborn and grow more and bear and give us more juicy, delicious fruits. And there's a lot going on, as we said, behind the scenes right now. And we have to believe as well in our lives. Not just, first, again, the first step is just believing that it's going to be good. Gam ze yavor, but more than that, even if I can't see it and understand how, this is necessary to get to the good. The part of this is my growth that I have to go through. These parshios, which we didn't fully understand. Everybody talks about, you're going through these parshios, it happens well right now, of course, and going through Golas Mitzrayim, that leads to Gula, that leads to redemption, that leads to Kabbalah Torah, and eventually going into Eretz Yisrael, right? Everything we want, Beis HaMikdash. First, we had to go through 210 years of slavery. And everybody asks, we don't see why. It wasn't a time, by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Churban Beis Rishon, Beis Sheni, read the Gemaras, they'll tell us all the different Averas that we did, that we needed it. We don't see that by the Yidden. It was just a necessity. It was just needed. For whatever reason, Hashem, we needed to go through the darkness to get through the light. Sometimes we don't understand. That doesn't mean I'm going to have the answer why. But Hashem knows what He's doing. And it's not just that there's going to be a light. This is in order to grow, to get to the light. I need this, it's part of it.
in order to bring out the kochos from within. And sometimes you'll see, and many of you have experienced, sometimes you can look back and you understand it even. Sometimes in retrospect, you know what, I needed that to grow in this way. I was just talking to a young woman, went through a long relationship and it ended, and said to me a line, yeah, but she's doing okay and moving on, but it was such a waste of time. So Chas V'Shalom was a waste of time. Okay, you didn't end up with that person to lead towards your Basharet. But that relationship was clearly important for you to learn more about yourself, to learn more about what you need in a relationship. You'll see that this relationship will lead you to be a better mother, a better wife, you'll see that you're going to grow through it. That relationship was a necessity. It was a winter that will lead to a spring. Even if you don't see it in the moment. And that's all of our life. And we have to, not merely, and it'll give us the biggest chizik, not merely understand that it's going to be good, but also know what we're going through now is necessary to get to the good. The famous Ramban. I'm sure some of you have learned this Ramban and seen it even inside. It's very beautiful. You should look. In Parshas Vayera, by the Akedas Yitzchak, the Ramban talks about what nisyonos are all about, what trials and tribulations of life are all about. Because obviously when you think nisyon in the Torah, the biggest nisyon in the Akedas Yitzchak, where Avram Vino is asked to shecht his 37-year-old son, we can't even imagine what it was. The Ramban says, what does Hashem give a nisyon? Nisyon is not a punishment. Why would He give a test, a challenge? Why do we go through life with tests and challenges that sometimes we don't want to have? Winters that I'd rather be in spring. I'd rather be in spring, I'd rather be in summer. Why do I have to go through these winters? These nisyonos. So Ramban there says that each and every one of us, we have so much within us. We have so many ways that we want and need to flourish. We have so much koyach, so much ability, called a koyach. Ability that's dormant within us, that's still, quote-unquote, winterized. It hasn't come out to blossom and to flourish. It's hidden behind the walls of the Eitz HaSodeh, being that Adam, being that person, somewhere deep within us, deep within our hearts, deep within our neshamas, deep within our mind. Each and every one of us, we have a lot within. We have a lot within us. The Nisayon, the Ramban says, and this is Lashon, a very famous Lashon, I'm sure some of you have learned already, is to take Mikoyach El HaPoyal. Mikoyach El HaPoyal. To take from the koyach, from that strength and ability within, el hapoel, to activate it. To activate our kochos within, which we haven't activated yet. To become more than we are. To grow. We have to go through winter to grow. It's part of the growth. Mikoyach el hapoel. And we'll see later, the way we react, and the way we persevere, and the way we deal with that nisayon, helps us flourish and grow into much bigger people than we were. And therefore Hashem wants to bring that out of us, that we wouldn't bring out if we just went through life without these nisyonos. We become bigger people beyond them, and therefore we need to embrace those winters. Not look down upon them, be sad and depressed and down and out, but to say, first, I know there's going to be a spring. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to be okay. And in the moment, whatever reason I'm going through this, this is part of my growth and I'm going to embrace it and do the best I can with it. And then it's a life of simcha. Then the winter is full of simcha sachayim. Even in the winter. Mikoyach el hapoyal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me a tremendous matan in the schus of all the Nashim Tzikanios here tonight when I was preparing this. When was I preparing this? When did we say we were going to have shir? What night was that? It was Wednesday night. I think it was Thursday during the day. So Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a big baton. If you take the gematria, min koyach el hapoyal, which is exactly right, what the Ramban says is the essence of taking the difficulties, the yonos of life, and turning it into activated into a time of strength and growth. Min koyach el hapoyal is gematria 340, exactly gematria ze tu bishvat. Exactly, gematria is that Tu B'Shvat. You can't make these things up. I mean, it's unbelievable. Siyat D'Shmaya. Is that Tu B'Shvat? Because that's the lesson of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is there to tell us. It should be. We're not going to wait till they blossom on the outside to celebrate the trees. Right now, in the darkness, in the winter.
realize this is min koyach al apoyel. This is in order to grow. This that you're going through, that dark hour, is for you to grow. And to be yourself, and to be your best self, and this is what you need. Happens to be also exactly gematria. I thought it's min koach al pols 340 is zetu b'shvat. It's also exactly gematria shame. Shame is the name. We've spoken many times. I'm sure many have remembered of the years, different shiur, and we talk about the name. How our name is our essence. Our name is who we are. Our name is our individuality. Our name is our individuality. And not to want to be someone else, and that's how we'll be happiest. So shame, our name, our individuality. So what I go through, what Aryeh Cohen goes through, my winters of life, are needed for myself to find my spring. And I have to believe that. I have to embrace that. So of course, min koyach al poel, zeh tu b'shvat, is also exactly gematria shame. Because it's to understand that's what you need. That's your name. That's what each and every one of us needs. But we have to live with this. And the ikkar is to live with this in the moment. Not in retrospect, going back. We all can do that. We all could do that once the spring comes to say, okay, it's good. We passed, you know, once winter's over. Now, okay, it's fine. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad after it's over. But to be sad throughout, no. The avoid of a yid, of a bas Torah, is to understand, and that's the essence of Tu B'Shvat. Even though I don't see it, even though it's dark, even though it's winter, I know it's going to be good, and I know this is for the good, and therefore I'm living the simcha every moment. Every single moment. This past week, so, this past week, Monday. Monday was a very emotional day. It was a difficult day. Baruch Hashem, it's only going to lead to Simcha, but I had to go with someone I'm very close to, a very close Talmud, to be by his side, to give his wife a get. Obviously, I'm not going to discuss whatever. This is all going to lead to simcha for both of them, Bez Hashem is Baruch. But obviously, you could understand that's a very emotional, not an easy thing to be a part of. None of you should ever know, and never be such as to be present or to know from such an event. It's one of those mitzvahs we hope to never fulfill. It's one of those mesechtas that you hope to learn just to be yotzei learning, not because you want to take it lemaisa to action. But when it's necessary, it's something that's very important, something that will only help everybody grow. So I had to go to be by the side, and I was there with him. That's not what I'm talking about now. So I'll tell you like this, for the last few weeks, my car hasn't been working too well. Okay, this car I knew was on its last days already for a while. This car, my in-laws gave me this car in 2007. So it's 13 years. It was a Honda Accord from 2004. Lemaisa, a few years ago, I had to put a lot of money into it. The engine went, whatever it was. And now I got back from Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago. I get into the car the first day. It didn't really want to turn on. It wasn't. And eventually, after like a lot of noises and craziness, eventually it turned on. Now, and it started every time you tried to turn it on, that's what happened. It made like the craziest noises you could ever imagine. Then you had to say six kapitel tehillim. And then finally it would turn on. Like every time, you'd have to dive in mamish. It was all I said, Arvani Shalom, you're just enhancing my tefillos with this car. It's great. I felt very bad when I had to, a couple times my wife had to drive it. I was very scared. That was it. I was gonna, you know, if I get stuck somewhere, okay. Anyways. Lemaisa, I knew. So I brought it into the mechanic. It needed a new starter, but there was something wrong with the engine also. Which the starter would be $400, but the engine was going. He thought you're going to need a new engine. I said, forget it. That's it. This car, it's done enough in this world. It's time, Baruch Dynamis. And that's it. It is what it is. I'll move on, find something else, figure it out. But I'll drive it till it actually dies, right? Meaning it was still working. Again, with those tillim, it would work, you know? So for a few weeks, literally, every time I turned it on, sometimes it took 20 seconds, sometimes 30 seconds, but it was... Okay. Of course, so it's this Monday, I'm going to take it. I had to drive the Talmud, whatever. This guy, his license wasn't good, whatever it was. So I was driving him, we were going to the Bezdin in Queens to take care of this. So I was going to get to his house 2 o'clock, and it was a 3 o'clock appointment. So I'm in DRS, I was teaching a halacha class till 2 o'clock, I go to my car, and of course, this is the time, boom, I go, dead, full of the times, Okay, it's good. It's in the dearest lot. I don't have to care about it till it gets towed. But Lameisa, I got to drive with. Like, this is a pretty important time. Like, you can't, you know. Like, my mamish, I couldn't believe, of all the times. Okay, Eibishter, this is what he wanted. So a friend of mine, one of the teachers, was leaving to go. So I asked him, I'm like, okay, you got to drive me to someone's house. I need to get there right now. I get there. So that was fine. He was like, mamish, everything's hashkacha. Like, mamish, the guy leaving that moment. So I go with him. He drives me to this guy by his parents' house. He lives over here close. I get to him. I'm like, I'm here, but I got to apologize. I'm here without a car. We're going to have to Uber. We'll figure it out. So he says, Rebbe, no problem. My parents, they have an extra car outside. It's been sitting there for like 4 months collecting dust. First of all, you could take it now, and I'm sure you could just use it for as long as you need. Don't worry. So he calls his father. And his father's like, yeah, it's been sitting. Why they're paying insurance on it and sitting in front of the house for 4 months already, I have no idea. This is Kasha Namais, but Demis. So they have this car, and it's a pretty new, a few year old Honda Accord that's sitting outside. Nobody's using it. And they told me again, they told me I could keep it to use as long as I need, till I figure out what to do. He says, at least till Pesach, we don't need it. That's what they said. At least till Pesach, we don't need it. So Kachave, this is what... Okay, so we drove, took care of the get, obviously, is emotion. We're not going to talk about that now, but Lameisa, that's what I'm driving now till I figure out what to do. Pesach Hashem is Baruch. So I realized that I was looking at the timing. You know, I knew at some point this car is going to die. And when the car dies, it's annoying. I got to figure out to get a new car. It's just, I got to figure out, forget about the money, this, that, I got to, you know. But when it happened, so I, Baruch Hashem, I have to mechazik myself. First of all, to know it's going to be okay and it's going to be good. And kachave, it was within moments that I had another car to drive. Temporarily, but at least I don't have to worry about this right now. But it wasn't just that. I realized afterwards that there couldn't have been a better timing. If it didn't happen at the time, I never would have known and would have been able to get this car. It was only, and then I'd be stuck and be that moment needed to figure out and worry and have to get rides and whatever it might be till I get a new car. It was kachav, it was that moment of winter led to the spring. It was only that moment led to the spring. It had to be that way. There's no reason to get upset. That's what Eibishter wanted, that I should go through that to lead to find the car immediately. If it would have happened any other time, it wouldn't have been in such a way, and I'd be having to figure out day in and day out till I figure out what to have for the long-term situation. Was that timing was impeccable. That winter was impeccable, leading to the Yeshua, Baruch Hashem. And this is all of our lives, Chaver. All of our lives. Sometimes we're zoiche, like I did immediately, to see it. Sometimes we're zoiche. Sometimes we're not zoiche. Sometimes it's going to be, it's going to be till Mashiach that we can look back and understand. There are some difficulties, some tragedies that are so deep, such winter that I don't see the spring. But remember, just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't mean Hashem is not running the world every single moment. Every single one of us, we should be zoicha to a heilige simcha of Tu B'Shvat. And on Tu B'Shvat this year, not just not say tachnen and have a few fruits and call it a day, but think about these yesodos. Think about first and foremost, like we said, davening for Nesrog and elevating all that we do to Torah, to mitzvahs, to remembering the strength of Emuna, that Hashem is always by our side even when I don't see Him. But more than that, in the difficult winters of life, no, there's going to be a spring. And not only is there going to be a spring, the winter is what leads to the spring. But what I'm going through now is building me. It's somewhere inside, it's building me, and it's helping me grow. And believing in that is the biggest chizik in the world, so that not only then can I be b'simcha, but every moment be b'simcha. So I could live a life of Tu B'Shvat, and live a life of Gula. To go in when our days of Ayabasha like we're B'Soch Hayam, until we're Zoyche, that Kosh Baruch Hu will no longer have to be hidden, but he's Megala self of Mashiach Sukeinu, Bekar B'Meinu, B'Meher Mamish. Everyone have a beautiful week, a good Vach. We'll continue Meretz Hashem soon.